The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we'll do that. We're being required to do it. We will do it. Here we are at
number five.
What you want, what you want.
In Chicago, drivers are being slapped with millions of parking tickets a year. Some get the dreaded yellow boot, and other drivers know that they had better obey these rules or else. Well, Richard Butler, the first deputy commissioner for the Chicago Department of Aviation, has been caught breaking the law over and over and over and over and over again without getting caught. Why? How? There is no parking sign in plain sight warning of a tow zone where a car with city plates has been seen parked night after night in front of a South Loop building. So CBS2's Jim Williams confronted Butler as he parked illegally on the spot and...
Can we ask you why you're parking here? This is an illegal spot.
I didn't realize it was an illegal spot. It's...
Signs there and the car's been here day after day after day. Can we have your name?
Yes, sir. I'm Rich Butler.
You get to take the car home.
Yes.
But don't you think you should just park it in a garage or find a legal spot like everybody else around here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Dang.
What I like about that is Jim Williams all of a sudden gets to play a cop, right? Because that's the sort of the tone that the cop has when he's pulled you over for something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like, dude, you're blowing my cover. I don't want to give you my name. I've been parking here for months.
He also, that hesitation, the length of time it took to give his name. Which name should I give him?
Right. But unlike cops, unlike an episode of Cops where, you know, everybody is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, this guy was wearing a shirt during this.
Oh, good.
Takedown. So you had that going on. The aviation department has suspended his take-home privileges now. Well, I believe, now I'm told this, again, I have no firsthand knowledge of it, but the people who drive cars with city plates, if you park illegally, they'll ticket your city plate. Let's tell you right now, guys who drive, I know that there are actual marked cars, not police or fire, but other marked like city vehicles that will get ticketed by the Department of Revenue of the city. So, yeah.
Do you ever have nightmares about your car being towed? I just feel like that's a reoccurring nightmare that I have as a city resident.
Have you actually had your car towed yet?
Oh, yeah. Twice.
And did you go down to the pound that's right below us here?
I've been to that one twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is not a good place to
be. No. And they're so understanding down there when you're trying to get your car back.
And you're worried once you go into those gates if you're actually going to ever come out.
Yeah.
You really have to have everything together, too. You know, if it's got somebody else's name on the car or the insurance, like when my father's name was on my insurance, it was a problem because it wasn't mine. It was ugly.
Yeah. And it used to be you'd had to go down there with cash.
Yep.
And you'd have to pay in cash. And it was, you know, whatever it was like $300 or something. It was, you know, you had to go raise that money. The cash. But the problem that finally the city started to acknowledge even on its own was the credit card was the better way to do it because people have credit cards. They'll be able to pay on it. And then the guys who were down there couldn't pocket half the cash.
This is also where you learn that there is a lower whacker drive.
Yes.
Right? Most people don't even know that. But if you've been towed, you find out.
But there's another level, a whole other level below that. And there's a level below that, which you don't really ever want to go to. I can promise you that. All right, let's check in with Jen. What's going on in the traffic and the weather?
Family Classics is back on WGN-TV. Watch a Family Classics presentation of the Irving Berlin Classic Holiday Inn, Friday night at 7 on WGN-TV.
I saw that story in Robert Feeder's column today that Steve Sanders is back doing that. There's only been 3 hosts in the history of that show. And Steve Sanders was filling in for Dean Richards, who was the third host, because Dean Richards took a spill, right? Of course, you hear Dean Richards on the morning show here on 720 WGN on the Steve Cochran Experience every morning from 5 to 9. And that Steve Sanders, that, you know, that's a man, he's perfect for that. You know, because you got to have like a really genial and, you know, somebody who makes you really comfortable to do those family classics movies. And I don't know how many times I got to see Sink the Bismarck, and I have no idea why that was a family classic when I was a kid, because it was a war movie, but whatever. That's what they did. All right, checking in at
number four.
For the first time in the history of the television show Survivor, a contestant has been kicked off for misconduct. After already receiving a warning for his behavior, Dan Spillo, who is a Hollywood producer and looks just like Harvey Weinstein. That's the problem here. I mean, I honest to God, I think it might be Harvey Weinstein. He's thinking, hey, no one will recognize you if I go on Survivor. He was removed from the game only days left because there was an undisclosed off-camera incident. Females on the show often complained about him.
When I first got here, Dan was like super kind and super helpful.
Yeah.
But then one night, like, the hands were wandering.
Was he doing that with Elizabeth too?
With everybody. It's a game, so I'm assuming nobody would want to say something because you can't make a scene, right?
Yeah. It's super upsetting because it's like, you can't do anything about it. There are always consequences for standing up. This happens in real life, in work settings, in school, like, you can't say anything because it's going to affect your upward trajectory. It's going to affect how people look at you.
At the merge feast last night, I'm talking with Janet about her kid almost going to Navy because I went to Air Force.
Yeah.
And I feel like someone like wiggling my toes. And I'm just like, I wonder who it could be. And I look down and it's him. Like, it's just inappropriate touching.
Let's stop you right there. That toe wiggling. That's just creepy, is what that is.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, this is a guy. You know, this is an archetype right here. This guy. At the end of last night's episode, after the tribal council, and you know that means it's law when the tribal council agrees on something. Jeff Probst, who's still the host of Survivor, if you haven't watched it in a long time, said that Dan was gone, not coming back. But before that, Dan said that the contestants were using the entire situation as a way to eliminate him.
Is the bottom line we're not going to let this go?
Well,
as
no.
As much as 12 people on this tribe respect the non-game aspect of it and that it was inappropriate to have it even infiltrate in the game.
Damn.
So the vote was, honestly, about trust and deception. The fact that things were used that I don't think should ever be used in this game, you know, it's upsetting. It's also upsetting if there was even a hair of truth to it in the smallest part in the beginning.
Absolutely.
That's
right.
Bad. And I don't want to be a part of anything that ever makes anybody feel bad.
Now, Dan, it's a television show. Let's not forget that. This is not a court of law. This is not this. I mean, he's lucky he's not in a court of law.
Do you think his whole strategy was like, I'm going to be creepy and they can't kick me off for being creepy?
Right, because that's going to be my character, Creepy Dan.
I'm going to make everybody feel uncomfortable, so they go.
I'm going to wiggle their toes.
Also, like, how are they doing these interviews on Survivor in context and nobody is saying before this, you know, we should probably kick this guy off?
Well, the producers would know, right? There's producers, you know, behind the camera, there's like 40 people behind these cameras. You're only looking at the people who are on the camera and you think that they're the only ones on the island, and then that Probst guy shows up and, you know, and then he sits around and they play that dun-dun-dun-dun music when you're trying to decide where the coconut's going to go or whatever the hell goes on there now. And you're like, okay, that's it. But that's not how it works. There's like 100 people around the entire set of this, and at any given moment, there's dozens behind the camera. So they would have known. But, you know, it's getting the publicity and it's reminding people that Survivor is still on television.
Number three.
The National Film Registry is out with their list of influential movies to be preserved by the Library of Congress. It's a diverse list, including Purple Rain.
I saw Mom up the street. She looked pretty bad. Any idea how she got that way?
You got a girlfriend.
Yeah, I got a girlfriend.
You're going to get married.
I don't know.
If I get married.
Kevin Smith's Clerks.
Wait, but you said you only had sex with three different guys. You never mentioned him.
We went out a few times. We never had sex, but we fooled around.
Well, oh, my God, I feel so nauseous.
I'm sorry, Dante. I thought you understood.
How many?
Something like 36.
What? Something like 36?
Lower your voice.
Oya, what is that anyway? Something like 36. Does that include me?
37.
I'm 37?
And boys don't cry.
What is the matter with you?
Oh, no! I don't know what went wrong.
You are not a boy. That is what went wrong. You are not a boy.
Tell them that. They say I'm the best boyfriend they ever had.
Do you want your mother to lock you up again? Is that it? Is that what you want?
No.
All right, there you go. Those are the new entries to the National Film Registry. Right, checking in at
number two.
Good time.
Anytime you need a payment.
Good time.
Anytime you need a payment.
Okay, so I've seen the commercials for this, the promos, actually is the proper term, right? For the ABC is going to do a live version of Good Times where Viola Davis and Andre Brower are going to play Florida and James Evans, Tiffany Haddish, Jay Farrow, and what we are going to be the kids. And there's going to be a show-stopping musical performance from Anthony Anderson and Patti LaBelle. Good Times will be performed live along with an episode from All in the Family next Wednesday night. Now, who's in the All in the Family? They've recast this whole thing, right? Why are they doing this? What is going on here?
Did anyone say they wanted these shows back?
I don't think so. And if you do want them back, there's a bunch of cable channels you can go to find them because they're out there. Or you can go to YouTube and you can watch them. And it feels weird to me, you know, to bring back the shows that were, you know, if you want to see what those were, and they were groundbreaking. Both of those were groundbreaking shows. They changed everything. But that I don't know.
I always feel like when they do these remakes with new characters, like even though those people are all individually talented, like you have your idea of what the show is supposed to be. Then when it's other people, I don't know. It's just a good idea.
I'm with you, Jordan. I don't get it. I'm going to refuse to watch. That's what I personally am going to refuse to watch. The sitcom is still a fairly entertaining thing, depending on which one it is. I tend to like the ones that are more on the HBO and the Showtime. Because there's swears. But, you know, I understand the formula of it, and I like it. I just don't understand why you'd want to take, you know, something that was, like, pretty great on its own and then redo it. It's like when they redid the movie Psycho shot for shot. And you're like, why would you do that? The first one was pretty good, right? People still watch that and get scared. And finally,
number one.
Well, you never know what you're going to find in family storage. After their father, Robert, passed away in 1997, Patrick Paul and Mike McCarron began the process of sorting things after that dad had left behind. Among them, there was a beat-up wooden box with a flaking gray paint and rusted hinges. And inside the box, the McCarron brothers found a trove of small film reels. And once they found the proper device to play the film, a 16-millimeter projector, they sat down together to watch the footage of their dad that their dad had left them. And what they found was footage from the 1925 Thanksgiving Day game between the Bears and the Cardinals, the Chicago Cardinals back then, at Wrigley Field, which was then known as Cubs Field. Because they didn't want to brand stuff back then. it was a simpler time. They go, where do the Cubs play? Cubs Field. You say Wrigley Field, they go, oh, that's where the gum plays. Anyway, it's the first time, it's a 3.5-minute silent clip, which includes the first time in a professional game by Red Grange, and the only known video of George Halas as a player. I mean, think about it. This is 1925. The team had only been around for 5 years at this point. Think about that. Mike McCarron says he could not believe it.
We were just watching footage of, you know, my dad, and he's like 3 years old, and the whole family's watching this. And then next thing you know, there's some random stuff coming through, and someone goes, "That's Red Grange."
We have no idea how he got onto the sidelines, because he had to be right on the sidelines to get this footage. So I don't know what special relationship he had and who he had that relationship with.
But, I mean, like, you went to games with Dad. He would go on the field, too.
Well, my dad, he always had a knack of going everywhere and never using his ticket.
You know, I'd go to a game with him, and I think he's going to the bathroom. The next thing I know, I look down, and I'm like, there's my dad on the field. So my grandfather taking this footage, you know, it's not out of the realm of, like, what they just did it.
Wow. Hey, thanks to ABC7 for that, by the way. That's amazing. And when you see it, it's pretty wild. Because, first of all, the referees were wearing white trench coats. like running up and down the field like they were storming the Ardennes, you know? It was like it was very weird.
You know what's great though about all old sports videos is that everyone in the crowd is like wearing a suit and a trench coat and a hat.
Yeah.
Like they all used to dress up to go to games. I mean, think about that now. Like if you went to Wrigley or Guaranteed Rate in the summer, it's 95 degrees, you're wearing a trench coat and a hat.
Well, we go in costumes. Right, we dressed as our favorite players. It's like Halloween when you go to the games. I don't think that we'll ever return to those hell days. You know, you always see those pictures of like Al Capone at the racetrack or Al Capone at like a baseball game. We were in the suit and he's got that smile on his face. Can't get me now, copper. It's like it is. You're right. It's just weird.
Yeah,
and you don't want to sit in back of a guy who's wearing a hat, do you? Right? I guess everybody. No one could see the game ever over everybody else's hat.
That's true. Although, you know, like the managers in baseball are still wearing the uniforms. Like, I want them to go, full suit.
Yeah.
With the fedora.
Where they have to walk out slowly out of the mound where they're wearing a full trench coat and it's 90 degrees outside. Let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's got the news.